The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh, good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and I teach happy hour alternating with Nikki Mercafore, more or less alternating depending on our travel schedules and availability. So here we are in the middle of January. I still kind of feel like it's a new year. I haven't quite got into the groove yet. But sometimes it seems that all we're noticing, all that kind of grabs our attention or what's preoccupies or just occupies the mind are the things that are not right, the things that are difficult, the things that are somehow in the way or not the way that we wish that they were, or the things that are uncomfortable. Somehow we don't notice anything else. We have this stickiness with this things that are uncomfortable, not going the way we wish. This is a natural thing. The mind does this. Of course, we all have descended from those people who paid attention to what was going to help keep them alive, right? So our just evolutionary biology, we've evolved to have pay a little bit extra attention to that which is negative, that which is uncomfortable, that which is threatening, that which feels like it's difficult. There's been quite a bit of research about this, about how the mind naturally leans towards noticing and attending to and processing that which is negative. But it also can be an overreaction, that there can be a little bit too much of this kind of, I want to use this word, like glomming onto or getting stuck on the things that are difficult. So to help us with this kind of the way that our minds naturally work, it can be really helpful to see the bigger picture. That is, to remind ourselves that there are plenty of things that are happening that are neutral, mundane, boring, that we may just be dismissive. And there also may be things that are okay. There may be little pockets of experience that are fine. Maybe the cup of coffee tastes good. Maybe the weather is not so bad. Or maybe if you're dressed appropriately for the weather, maybe that's another way to think about it. If it's raining, that you remembered your umbrella. Or if you didn't remember your umbrella, it's okay if you get wet a little bit. So that we can put in a little bit of this correction to what scientists like to call the negativity bias. But because this is a natural inclination of the mind, it does take a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of practice, and it takes a little bit of intention to overcome this negativity bias. So I'm not going to suggest that we become like a Pollyanna character and that we only look at good things and don't look at the bad things. And then you guys were right about the volume. It's a little bit too loud, even for me. So I'm going to turn this down here. That's a little bit better, right? So we're not asking. In fact, this is a lot of robust research that I've just been poking around into. I think it's kind of interesting to ask this question. Is it better or more effective, more helpful to ignore those things that are uncomfortable, that are troublesome, upsetting, difficult? Is it better to do that? Or is it better to kind of like increase our capacity to notice the positive things? That is, to overcome this negativity bias that we all have. And the research comes back pretty clear that the happiest people, those people who feel like they have the most resiliency and the most capacities or the flexibility in their life, are those people who are learning to pay attention to those things that are positive, not turning away from the negative, but just turning towards the positive. So that is to have a bigger picture, a fuller picture, to have the capacity to see things that are neutral, to see things that are okay. So they're saying that human flourishing, I kind of like this expression, to flourish, to blossom, to grow, to reach our potential, does not come from the suppression or ignoring of difficult or uncomfortable things. Happier people are not naive or blind to negativity, but recognize both the good and the bad things. So then that brings me to what we are doing here. If we want to increase our capacity to see some of the good, if we want to increase our capacity to even see some of the neutral, increase our capacity to kind of overcome the negativity bias, it turns out that loving kindness practice can be a really great support. That is, loving kindness practice kind of helps in some kind of way to open up our attention, our awareness, maybe soften some of the stickiness that things that are negative or uncomfortable have. And maybe to also just to have a little bit of a shift. It's easy for me to sit up here and to say, well, it's good to look at, you know, see the bigger picture and just don't focus on the negative things. But how do you do that? Even though we might know there's like scientific data to support it, doesn't mean we can do it. Doesn't mean that we can let go or not kind of get obsessive about these things that are difficult. And loving kindness practice is a way that there's a little bit of a shift, or this inclination of the mind, this an inclination of the heart, a little bit of a shift that allows some openness. No guarantees that loving kindness practice means it's all going to be good and you're only going to see good and you're only going to experience good, pleasant things. That's not what this is about. It's about increasing our capacity, creating the conditions in which it's more likely to arise. If we're stuck on the negative things and the difficult things, there's less capacity to see and experience things that are positive. I wish I could say, yes, just do loving kindness practice and, you know, you'll experience nothing but pleasant, nice, happy thoughts. But you wouldn't believe me if I said that anyway. So we're just creating the conditions for the mind to have a shift, have this inclination. And this does work. This does work. Maybe not the first time you practice it, and maybe not the second time you practice it, but having this different leaning, don't underestimate how powerful that can be. We might be able to, with our seeing things differently, we might be able to have some new ideas about how to solve problems. We might be able to soften the self-critical voice that then allows us to open up and maybe take a little bit bigger chance than we might have otherwise. It might help us give people the benefit of the doubt. It might give us a little more courage to go have that difficult conversation, or maybe to reach out to the person we're feeling disconnected from or having difficulties with. It can all start with some training the mind. So the way that I like to teach loving kindness practice, and there are a number of different ways, so I don't want to sit up here and say this is the only way. The way that I like to teach it and the way that I myself practice it is with three elements. Those of you who have been here before know this, and maybe could even be sitting up here giving these instructions. The first element is to bring to mind, we'll start with a lovable being. That is, we'll start where it's easy. Is there a being for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness, to feel some gladness and with the thought of this being, some warmth, some respect, some care, some benevolence, goodwill, love, kindness, all these words. You can choose any of these words, all of them, whichever ones resonate for you. Some people choose a person that has really benefited them, helped them, supported them, and that they feel a certain gratitude for. This might be a teacher, might be a spiritual leader. It might be somebody you don't even know, but you feel that they've touched your life either by their teachings or reading their works or whatever. It might be. It might be somebody you know, it might be somebody you have a relationship with, but it's best to start where the relationship is simple. And often the simplest relationships are the ones that we don't know people so well. It's perfectly fine. Some people like to start with puppies, kittens, babies, whatever kind of makes your heart sing. That's perfectly fine too. The key here is that there shouldn't be a struggle with it, with this well-wishing that you want to extend to this being. It should just be able to kind of like flow from you. So we bring this lovable being to mind, and that doesn't mean that we have a high-definition image. It just bring them to mind, whatever way that makes sense to you. The second element is to feel the sensations in the body that are associated with loving kindness. It might be, no guarantees, it might be that there's some warmth, some openness, some softness, a little sense of well-being, contentment, happiness that's associated with having this person to mind and doing the practice. And then the third element to remind us of our intention here to be cultivating loving kindness. The third element is to say the phrases. So you can repeat these phrases in your mind silently after me. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. You're welcome to modify them if you have words that feel a bit more resonant for you, and of course it doesn't have to be in English. It can be whatever language is the language of your heart. So with that as an introduction, let's start by taking an alert, upright posture, but a posture that also has some ease, some comfort. It's really hard to, not impossible, but it's hard, more difficult to kind of soften the heart and the mind when we're in physical pain. So you're more than welcome to get any combination of cushions that you would like right now if you haven't already. Some people like to lie on the floor. You're welcome to do that. Then we'll start by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. Just as a way to connect to the body. It might be that with the exhale, there's a certain amount of relaxation. And then to help support a settledness and a sense of okayness, we'll do a body scan, a kind of a gentle, simple body scan. Might be helpful to bring your attention to those areas that where there's often a certain amount of tension. It might be around the eyes or the jaw. These are two common areas that we unknowingly hold some tension. Nothing in particular needs to happen, But it might be that bringing our awareness, our attention to these areas helps them to soften a little bit. Some people find it helpful to tuck their chin just a little bit so that it opens up the space in the back of the neck, and this really, really small movement can support some elongation of the spine that also can support some sense of ease. Feel the shoulder blades slide, let them slide down the back. Touch base with the upper back, the lower back. You can check in with the chest. Maybe see if there can be a really small movement, just opening the chest a little bit, softening the chest. Still staying really comfortable, but maybe just this really small movement. The belly, allowing the belly to relax. Feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Allowing yourself to feel supported, connected. Letting gravity do its job, keeping you here while you stay upright. Bring attention to the upper legs, the lower legs, and the feet. Another place we can feel grounded, connected. The upper arms, lower arms, and the hands. Chances are the hands are touching something. What's the feeling of what's being touched? Smooth or rough? Warm, cool? What about inside the hands? There might be some tingling, some throbbing, or maybe nothing in particular. And then to support our continued settledness, we'll do a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. Can bring your attention to the sensations of breathing. You can feel the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Whichever area feels the most supportive, the most accessible, perhaps the most vivid. And we'll just hang out here for a little bit with the sensations of breathing. What does it feel like to have an in-breath? What does it feel like to have an out-breath? Again, nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing the sensations of breathing. If you find the mind lost in thought, doesn't have to be a problem. Just simply, gently, begin again. Nothing else to do, nowhere else to be right now. We're just here now, hanging out with the sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, is an alternative to loving kindness practice. If you ever feel overwhelmed, uncomfortable, or in some ways it feels like loving kindness practice isn't the right practice for you right now, you can always do this. Just be with the sensations of breathing. And then, to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, kindness, goodwill, respect. Bring this being to mind. You might check in with the body. There might be a little shift. Might not be also when you bring this being to mind. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, repeat the phrases while having a lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease.
You might want to check in with the body and see if there's any feeling of openness,
softness, warmth, maybe in the chest or in the belly. It's perfectly fine if it's not there. But if it is, can you allow it to get as big as it would like? Without forcing, making, just allowing. You can allow this feeling to support you, nourish you, nourish your heart and your mind. Then we can build on this foundation of loving kindness that we've been cultivating and open the sphere of loving kindness to include ourselves. Loving kindness for ourselves. You can just check in the body and see if there's been any little shift. See if you can relax or soften if there's been any tightening. There might not have been, but if there is. And then in the same way, you can bring yourself to mind. It can either be visually or the felt sense of sitting here right now. Whichever way feels most accessible and perhaps vivid, supportive. And then to cultivate loving kindness for ourselves, we simply change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You might see if in the body there's any feeling of well-being or okayness. Doesn't mean it's your dominant experience. Doesn't mean it's what's the most obvious. There might be a quiet little corner of your experience, but just because it's quiet and in the corner doesn't mean it's not there. There might also be some neutral sensations in the body, some neutral experiences. If we allow a range of experiences just to be there, this openness of heart, openness of mind, just allowing them to be there. This allowing can be a great support for loving kindness practice. Even the difficult and comfortable sensations. Can we allow them to be there? And we can continue with loving kindness practice for ourselves. Maybe refreshing the image or felt sense of ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to help with our loving kindness practice, can be supportive to do a little bit of equanimity practice. So for this, bring to mind somebody you have a relationship with, somebody you care about, and there's just a little bit of friction, just a little bit of annoyance, a little bit of irritation. Not the most difficult person, not the most uncomfortable person. Perhaps it's somebody who doesn't load the dishwasher correctly, or something else. You can bring this person to mind. So we'll use a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So with that How's this microphone? Can you hear me with this one? So with that meditation, we started with some little body scan and then some mindfulness of breathing before going into loving kindness practice. Sometimes it happens that everything except loving kindness arises when you're doing loving kindness practice. Just a way that sometimes that brings to mind all the ways that we haven't been kind, either to ourselves or to others, or the ways other people haven't been kind. I don't know if that happened to anybody, of course, but if it does, you can always go back to loving kindness, to mindfulness practice. Just paying attention to the sensations of breathing. Or if you feel like you have the capacity to do it, you can maybe extend some kindness towards those experiences. Kindness towards the feeling of hatred, the feeling of anger, the feeling of, I don't know, was a strong disappointment or whatever it might be. It's not a mistake when these things arise. It's sometimes when we start to open and relax and soften the mind, things bubble up. And it's a way that they can be kind of metabolized and maybe seen and understood in a little bit different way. Just wanted to mention that sometimes this happens. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Doesn't mean that all it means is that it arose. So it can be really helpful. It can be enormously helpful. I can speak for myself in my meditation practice, just to talk with others, to kind of that activity of verbalizing, kind of like organizing my thoughts and somewhat about my experience of what happened, or some ideas that I have or questions I have. It can be really helpful to talk to other people. So now I'd like to encourage you to get into groups of three, just with the intention, just to share a little bit about what that experience was like. You're welcome to share whatever you like. It can be anything from, I slept the whole time, I really have no idea what she talked about, to, wow, that was great, I'm pretty sure I'm enlightened now. Anything in there, right, is fine. Just ask that this really isn't the place where we give each other advice or tell other people what to do. It's more an opportunity for us to kind of explore whatever's happening for us, or to kind of like tap in and maybe organize our own thoughts or something about this. So you have about 10 minutes, and I'll ring the bell when it's time to come back. So you can just organize into groups of three. It's not, I didn't count exactly, so three or four, whatever feels comfortable. So we just have 1 or 2 minutes. But is there a comment that somebody would like to say, or a question that somebody has, something you'd like to share? Maybe a new insight, a new idea, or a question about the practice? Can you use the microphone just so that everybody can hear you? Some people are using hearing-assisted devices, yeah. You'll have to turn it on. You can see there's a button on the side, and when the green light comes on is when the microphone's on.
Okay, I'm not going to sing.
You can if you'd like.
No, you don't want me to sing. Okay, so my question is, I've been doing meditation quite consistently for the past few months, and it is quite common that I feel a lot of pain in my back, that I think it's always there, but then it becomes very apparent and very uncomfortable when I'm meditating. And so I was wondering if you had any feedback, or like any help that you could provide.
Yeah, this is not uncommon that as we kind of like start to sit down and settle down, that kind of some of the knots that are in our bodies that perhaps we hadn't even noticed start to unwind a little bit, and or we just start to notice them. So there's a few things you can do. One is, I'll just say kind of briefly, one is to maybe go into those sensations, and that is like, oh, is this more a stabbing or a throbbing, or is it hot or is it cold? Is it getting bigger? Is it getting smaller? Is it moving around? So instead of having this thing like, ah, pain, have a little bit of curiosity, like, what is this? And that curiosity can kind of also like shift the mind in such that our relationship to the experience can shift. So, and then maybe the experience shifts too. So that's one way is to go in. Another way is to kind of go out, and that is to maybe start paying attention to sounds, or maybe to the body as a whole, if you can do something like that. So then there's this uncomfortable sensation, or I guess it's for you, it's in the back, but it's not the entirety of your experience. You're having other experiences too, and noticing what those other experiences are. So there may be times when going in, zooming in or zooming out are more available to you than others, and you may discover that one is easier than the other, either method. But those are two different things to kind of explore and play around with.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so it's 7:01. I want to respect your time, so I'll let you all go, of course. But I wish you all a wonderful evening, and may you have happiness, safety, ease, and health. Thank you.